ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another podcast of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 17. It is December 7th, 2016, and there has been a lot of, let's just face it, mediocre wrestling going on right now these days. And we're here to talk about it. Of course, I am your host, Russell, and I am joined by, well, it's not a glandular problem, but it is Kent Waldron. Kent, and of course, she is easy on the eyes, Carrie. Guys, how are we doing today?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Wow, that was very SMRT of you, Russ. Hey, Russ, do me a favor. Ask me what my favorite song of the week is.
Kent, what is your favorite song this week?
Iron Man!
Is that because of something?
That's irrelevant, though, to anything we're about to talk about.
I'm pretty sure it's not. I think it's going to be leading into something later on that's possibly Iron. But we'll see. All right. Of course, we talk about wrestling every week. Why? Because we like it. That's why. And you listen to it. So maybe because you think it's funny. How things work, of course, always. We have some topics that we like to talk about. We check our email. And, of course, we have our favorite specific things going on for the week. My man crush, Kent being educating us or Kentucating us. And, of course, Carrie with her new story of the week. So, this week, let's get right to it. Carrie, what's the topic that's really on your mind this week for wrestling?
I'm just going to say one thing. Alexa Bliss is now champ.
Woo!
Who is as happy as I am? Because I am very, 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 very happy.
After,
that's all.
After the way she's proven herself, definitely happy for her.
I mean, she deserves it at this point. I think I said this in my review of the match or somewhere in the blog or the review for TLC. For those who want to read it, 90s.com/wrestling. Read it.
I am not
Enjoy
the only
it.
One shilling. All right, we're working here. I'm not the only one shilling. Good. All right, go.
Of course not. basically, I said that TLC for me will basically be the night that Alexa Bliss stepped out of the Four Horsewomen's shadow and became the best thing to come out of NXT in the past 2 years. I mean, she deserved it. She's gone above and beyond what I think they probably have asked for her, and it's her time, and it's great to see. What do you guys think?
Well, it was nice to see that Alexa Bliss is, you know, after TLC, she was no longer chasing waterfalls. She beat the Red Light Special and Becky Lynch, and now she's creeping into all of our hearts. Creep. I don't know. I was really just going with that. I'm happy as hell, obviously. Alexa's been my girl for, like, 2 years now. In my opinion, she's the best female that they have. I don't know. She's probably better than Asuka, because Asuka's slowly kind of turning into not a one-trick pony, but not a full... She hasn't really showed many layers, whereas Alexa's now shown us layers. Layers that doesn't involve getting on a mic and just screaming and calling that heel work. Charlotte. What do you think there, Russ?
Well, I'm definitely happy for her. She has proven to be one of the best things that came out of NXT for the women. It's just amazing, because to me, in NXT, and I didn't see her that much, so I don't know how much she was in it, but to me it seems like she wasn't as good, or maybe she just wasn't given the opportunity. What do you guys think? Because,
well, that's easy. You had the Four Horsewomen who had to come up, right? You had to bring up the three.
Correct.
Lee Bailey, you know. And then they scrambled. So let's build up Asuka. Let's keep Bailey's momentum rolling. And let's try to do something with Nia Jax. And no point did they say, you know what? We have something here in Alexa Bliss. They just kind of kept... They never put the focus on her. They never put, like, a couple of months. That's all they needed to do, was a couple of months, but they never did it. And then they just moved her up for no... There was no reason to move her up. I'm happy she got moved up, but from the discernible eye of watching how the story was told, there was no reason to move her up.
Well, yeah, you do need to bring up a good point. It did seem like there was no reason to bring her up, but my God, that was the best thing for her. Wouldn't you guys agree? I mean, if she didn't move up, I don't think we'd be talking about Alexa Bliss at all right now.
Well, I think the best thing for her was meeting Buddy Murphy, but, you know, that's just me and Ginger love.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so let's keep on with the women. Carrie, anything else about the women's division this week that you want to talk about, since you're the female in the group?
Well, I think Kent alluded to this at the start of the podcast. We have an Iron Woman match coming up, guys.
Wait, this when did Kent allude to this? I don't remember anything about an Iron anything from the beginning of this podcast.
He sang Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, I did. What a coincidence.
I know, that is pretty odd.
Huh.
Okay, so Iron Woman match?
Yes. Apparently at Roadblock, I think that's the next pay-per-view. I don't know. They're starting to jumble together for me, guys. Anyway, there is supposed to be an Iron Woman match for the title between Sasha and Charlotte. That was announced on Monday night.
Yes, it was. And
yay.
Now, I need to check this because I'm not sure. Kent, you are our historian here. Is this going to be a historic match?
In the context, it could be historical. But let's not forget that just last year in the fall time, Sasha and Bayley did, you know, they did it first. But that seems to be the exact blueprint that WWE main roster has been utilizing for Charlotte and Sasha, is to just follow everything that Bayley and Sasha did better, which is just weird. Like, just weird. I hate it. I hate Charlotte.
You are down on Charlotte, and it's funny because I used to be down on Charlotte, and now
what has she done to earn it other than being the seed from the fucking Nature Boy? Has she done anything? Has she improved in the ring? No. Has she improved on the mic? Yeah, when you go from a 0 to a 1, but she's no perfect 10.
Well, okay, I was going to stop you there. Has she improved in the ring? I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. I think she's improved
you
in the ring. Now, she is okay, she's no she's no Bailey in the ring, and she's definitely not any Becky. I think out of all of them, I think Becky's honestly one of the better ones in the ring. But Charlotte has improved. She's gotten better at her combinations. I think that's the best way to put it, combination. She's gotten better at her flow. Her system moves a little bit better, and she's definitely gotten better on the mic. She does not... I remember I couldn't stand listening to her. At least now I can tolerate her. I don't know if that's because it's overexposure and I just don't care anymore or what, but at least she's gotten to a point where I can tolerate her. So I have to disagree a little bit. She has improved. Yes, she got her start because of her father, but I think she's starting to prove her on her own.
No. Because there's a point where the hand-holding stops, right? Unless you're a part of the Rocks family. Then the hand-holding continues throughout the rest of your career until you get let go.
Roman, I mean,
in this case, there's just no rhyme or reason to keep pushing her. Yes, she's athletic. Yes, she does tie some of that into her match. Yes, she has a nice-looking moonsault. What else does she do, though, that's all that great? Don't tell me the figure eight, because that's a nothing special. You put your arms behind you and you lift your ass up. I can kind of try to do that and maybe fail.
I was going to say, I would love to see if you could do that. I don't know if you can do a figure flare, so...
Well, at the Royal Rumble, Russ, I say that you allow me to attempt to do the figure eight on you, right, and we will take pictures of my failure or my success.
Or we could do it this weekend. Because you know it's this weekend, everybody? I didn't want to tell Kent this, but he's going to have to find out. It is Kent's birthday this weekend, and I am going
what,
to
what,
see
what?
It. But it is Kent's birthday this weekend. So, Carrie, I think we should sing him a little happy birthday, because he seems down this week. If you haven't read the blog yet at 9deuce.com/wrestling, Kent's very, very... Kent usually asks all the questions, and you can tell in the questions he's a little bit mad. So I think he needs a little happy birthday. What do you think, Carrie?
I think it's just what the doctor ordered to get him over his cynicism.
Yes. I don't think it's going to work, but let's do it anyway. So real quick, we'll do a fast happy birthday. Ready?
Ready.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday, dear Kent. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my God, you know what? In 2 weeks, I cannot wait to watch Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks. I got to tell you guys, I have never seen two women work so hard in my life and just come so far from nothing, not getting a helping hand, not getting a push at all, coming from nothing, all right? Never getting any promo time and just coming out there week after week, never in the main event spotlight, stealing the show week after week. And damn it, they earned that first main event slot. They earned that Hell in a Cell. And God damn it, they earned this Iron Man, this historical Iron Man match. Pure bliss.
Alexa Bliss?
Yeah.
Now, I think it worked, Carrie. I think he definitely was less citizens.
I think so. Wow.
I didn't read that
was a 180.
I didn't read any sarcasm in that at all.
Oh no, not at all. It was very honest and straightforward.
Yeah. WWE Good job, Russ. Has worked me, apparently.
I like to think it was our singing.
Me too.
Cause that was good.
I gotta say, since this is kind of like a thing here. As I was doing some Christmas shopping, actually yesterday, WWE's had a sale. Now, twice now, I've missed the sale for a buy one, get one free shirt. So, Russ, you don't get a shirt. Damn. Carrie does. But one thing they had in clearance was the Roman Reigns glove and wristband. And it was only like $5.50, and I'm like,
Yes.
But then I realized I have kind of like fat man hands, so it was no chance in hell. But really, I wanted to have it one day, so I could just go like that at the beginning of every. Alas, I know my fat hands would not fit in it.
I don't know. Roman's.
That's my cheap. Whole story. It went with the women's division because bitches be loving Roman's wet hair.
That's true.
It's very luxurious and just wet.
Even though it's greasy. He still can't get out of Kevin Owens' arm bars.
Yeah, that is true. Is that why Brett was so successful?
Yes. He was a slippery guy. All right. So, obviously, Kent loves what's happening with the Iron Woman match. Me, personally, I'm done with this feud. It's changed hand too many times. The belt is tarnished beyond belief. If they're going to fix it, they need to fix it now and stop trading the belt back and forth between them.
Wait a second. We sit here and bitch and moan all the time. We're so bored by these long, luxurious strands of Roman's hair and long reigns, okay? We are just so bored that it's like, will you get somebody else the belt? And now they're finally giving us what we want. Some title chances, some new opportunities for some young wrestlers, and you're sitting here and you're critiquing this, Russ? How could you?
Well...
defend yourself.
I'm going to defend myself. First of all, it's okay to change the belt every once in a while. I don't want belt changes to happen all the time. I like belt changes when it makes sense or there's lightning in a bottle and you have to catch it. Those are the only real opportunities I like. Other than that, this isn't lightning in the bottle. What they're doing right now is just literally saying, okay, Charlotte has to win at the pay-per-views because we want to have her have that awesome streak going so they can brag about it until she finally loses it, which I guess when she finally loses it, it'll be nice. It'll be a big push wherever she loses it to. Don't care. It's the belt is worthless to me right now. It's traded hand too many times. Who cares?
It's about as worthless as lightning in a bottle. Have you ever gotten lightning in a bottle? It's warm.
And I've never actually caught it. It's hard.
Yeah, really hard. It sucks. Your hand stings afterwards. You're like, what am I going to do with this bottle of lightning? Nothing. Gonna look at it for a little bit, tell people I caught lightning in a bottle. Nobody's gonna believe you.
That's true, because probably the bottle would shatter too. As soon as you caught the lightning,
it takes a few seconds, man. Yeah. Pressure.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't you actually have a telltale sign that you actually did catch lightning in a bottle? I mean, your hair would be standing up on end.
Except for Kat.
It's always a hair thing with you people. Yeah,
always.
Except for Kat.
Sorry, Kat.
Kat can never prove it. He said he caught it once, but he can never prove it. All right. Carrie, is there anything else in the women's division that really tickled your fancy? You never heard that saying before?
Yeah, I've
heard
it.
Oh, okay. You just looked at me weird. I was just curious.
I'm thinking.
I've heard of tickled your other things.
No.
Fancy. No. And let's see. Not really. Everything else kind of...
It was kind of blah. I do...
Yeah.
I kind of like how the Carmella... I'll go real quick into Carmella and Nikki part. How they're transitioning the Carmella-Nikki battle into Nikki and Natalya. I like how they're doing it. It's a really good storyline, at least accessing it. I don't know where they're going to go with it because I don't know where Carmella's going after this. So, But
what about Naomi? Like, she put on like some of the best matches of her life, and she's kind of getting forgotten again. Am I the only one seeing that? Like, it's kind
of
weird.
Oh, no, there's a lot of people being forgotten. Because, guys, I don't want to bring this up because it's not a girl, but what happened to Jack Swagger?
Who?
Jack Swagger, who got traded to SmackDown maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, thought this was going to be
what
a
happened?
Huge thing.
Old Spice bought him, and now they have that new scent, that Swagger scent. That's what happened there.
Got it. So they bought him, killed him to make a set, and he no longer exists. But seriously, didn't he go to SmackDown and we're all like, oh, this is going to be his big moment? He's gone after a week.
Russ, did you see the tussle in Texas? No, you didn't, because nobody saw it, because it, like, you blinked and it was gone, okay?
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that.
That sums up Jack, okay?
Yeah.
But normally I don't pine for myself, but I'm going to have to do it right now. Normally we don't do this early in the show.
Oh, okay.
But I want to do my Kenchication right now.
All
right,
hold on. Ken, then please, Kenchicate us. I need some Kenchication.
While we're talking about the women, did you know that in 2 Sundays from now, we are going to have a first time ever historic Iron Man match between the women?
No.
But furthermore, did you know that we already had one in NXT? But on top of that, there's been 9 other Iron Man matches in WWE. The obvious one we know is Shawn Michaels versus Bret, because they never can shut the fuck up about it. And that was a horrible match. Lasted over an hour. Here's the other ones, though. We had Triple H versus The Rock for an hour. Benoit beating Angle, only a half hour. Lesnar beating Angle for an hour. Benoit versus Triple H, an hour. Mr. Abs and Joey Mercury defeating Charlie Haas and Hardcore Holly. I don't even remember that match taking place and how that ever got an Iron Man match.
I barely remember that at all.
Mind-blowing.
I didn't even know it was an Iron Man match.
We have Kurt versus Sean. That was a draw. Then Mr. Abs.
Well, how was it a draw?
It was 2-2.
Oh, it ended Raw. An hour. That was it. It wasn't.
And it was in Texas. It was in Dallas. You know what else was just in Dallas? Raw.
True.
So there's your logic.
Oh, my goodness. You're right.
Yeah. Mr. Abs and Miz versus Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore. Somehow that once again got an Iron Man match. Cena versus Orton. And those are your 9.
Wow. Cena, I don't remember Cena versus Orton. Was that mid-2000s?
Oh, let's see here. It was in Pittsburgh on October 25th, 2009 at Bragging Rights. Okay. It ended 6-5.
Wow. I'm assuming in Cena's favor.
Do-do-do-do.
Wow, that's actually pretty... That's impressive, Kent.
So Benoit, actually, is really the best at it. He's appeared in 2 of them and won both of them.
Wow, was it one
against
Triple
H? Is he due for a third one?
Holy cow. Well,
do you think?
In heaven, yes.
Too soon.
Wow. All right. Well, I feel Kenchicated.
I feel a lot smarter too.
It's good stuff.
I feel like watching Chris Benoit again.
Oh, Kat. All right, well, Kat, you Kentucated us, but now it's also your turn to tell us what really got you this week. And based off our blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, sounds like you got a lot to say about Raw, sir. Go ahead, vent.
All right, so Monday Night Raw happened for over 3 hours. I believe that both of you have told me that you neither one of you fully watched it. Unfortunately, I did. I made the stupid mistake of watching it from beginning to end, and by the end I wanted to slit my throat from ear to ear.
That is definitely your mistake.
Oh yeah, 100% my bad. Here's the thing. We have issues with the fact that we don't have a mid-card anymore. We have four guys. They're the only four guys that matter in the company, and sometimes Braun Strowman.
And Zayn. Once in a while, Zayn.
Okay, so we have like two middlemen, and we have four guys that matter. Then we have a tag division that doesn't matter, a women's division that don't matter, and a cruiserweight division that don't matter. What I'm suggesting is that Raw doesn't matter. It's ceased mattering. It's built up a pay-per-view with a minimum of four matches that I don't care to watch. The only reason I will watch it is because A, The Walking Dead will be off the air by then, and B, we have a blog to write. Aside from that, I wouldn't watch Roadblock. It is shaping up to be one of the all-time worst cards, and Raw kind of cemented that because Jericho's just kind of disbanding. It's not funny. Like, it's boring now.
Yeah, they really screwed this up.
They've made, it's like, all right. Did either of you watch Seth Rollins' opening promo?
Yes.
I did not.
All right, well, Seth early on talks about Triple H. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, okay, maybe we're going to have something here.
Yep.
Maybe we're going to have thunder and lightning in a bottle. Instead, we just end up with an empty bottle. Because it went nowhere. Once again.
Come on, you got Big Show.
Well, okay, they did make sense of it, at least to get the Big Show part out. That was stupid, by the way, but at least they got it out. Logically, he makes sense. He needs to take out Jericho, and yes, I am defending my boy, only to a point where at least it kind of makes sense. He has to take out Jericho in order to beat KO. And in order to beat KO, once he beats KO, he'll be champion, and Triple H won't want that, therefore he'll get Triple H. That's his logic.
Is Seth even going to win the match, though? I don't think he's going to win the match.
Against Jericho? No, I'm pretty sure something's going to happen.
It makes sense for Triple H to interfere, Jericho to main event against KO at Rumble,
yes,
and so on and so forth.
Yep.
And then Roman Reigns to sit there, jack off in the middle of the ring on top of the U.S. title and be like, this is what we think about this division. Then he might wipe his ass with it when he's done. Not to be crude or anything.
Right, no. Keep this on the up and up here. Right, exactly.
No working blue here.
Right. Okay, you definitely bring up a good point. They do seem to only focus on the four guys, and once in a while Sammy, once in a while Braun. Braun was nowhere to be seen this week.
The best booked person on Raw was nowhere to be seen. But, you know, one of our more favorite people was on there. And in the blog, Russ, this is one of my notes.
Yes.
You suggested that Rusev finally played a heel. To which I ask you, how is a man being a heel when he's attacking a dude who's openly flirting with his wife?
Oh, okay. Well, you bring up a good point. Yes, defending his wife is a good thing. Being devious and setting the whole thing up so they can beat his ass at a hotel room is heel work. The whole thing was a complete and utter setup. I mean, if he wanted to be the honorable guy, not be the heel, he would have gone up to him and go, hey, leave my wife alone or I'm going to beat your ass. Not, let's set this up. And by the way, I loved that, the whole setup. It was great. Enzo played his part beautifully. Cass was good. Rusev was amazing. And Lana, ooh la la, okay?
She's Russian, not French.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's ravishing.
That's Maurice.
Yes, sorry. She was ravishing. So
no, that was Rick Rude.
Oh man,
she is Russian.
Russian. I keep on. I'll get it one of these times. So the way he did it was complete and utter heel. I loved it personally. Yes, it's a little bit of revenge, but he was being smart. Is this the first time Rusev has actually been really kind of smart in his tactics for being a heel?
He rode in a tank to fight John Cena. If that's not the smartest thing any wrestler has ever done in the history of wrestling, I don't know what is.
That's touche.
Tank beats everything.
Touche. You're right. You're right. If you're going to go fight John Cena, you need to bring a tank. Simple as that. You're right.
So second smartest, sure, but not first smartest tank.
But it was both Rusev, so...
I still don't think he's... I don't know. I'm having a hard time painting him as the bad guy.
They took steps towards it. That's what I felt.
Couldn't they have had him, like, spit on Enzo and, like, tattoo him or something? Put, like, I don't know. Do something funny to him. Like, he just kind of threw him out in the hallway. Like, if they wanted to make Rusev heel-er, yes, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, couldn't they have had him go to a little bit more of an extreme other than throwing him into a couch? Because, quite frankly, that couch looked nice.
True. But that the table they broke did not look too nice, and that looked like it hurt.
I mean, do you really feel that Enzo won or lost? Because I feel he won. He got to see Lana in that particular state of clothing.
You know, when he got thrown out, and they should have had it afterwards, him getting up, picking himself up, and going, worth it.
Right. I mean, granted, all the ladies, they got their eye candy because they got to see Rusev.
And
finally, the men got rewarded.
Enzo, you know, looks good in his underwear.
You know, I was sitting there thinking, maybe I should get the leopard print tattooed on my head.
You should.
Yeah.
I'm good. But no, in all seriousness, Carrie, we haven't heard from you yet. What did you think of this angle here? Did you even get to see it? So...
I actually did watch it. That's when I finally was able to start watching Raw on Monday night. And, oh boy. I mean, your gender, guys, so gullible. How could you not know that that was a trap? I mean, I know it was written, it was acting, blah, 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 blah. You know, acting, but still. Beautiful women, scantily clad, you guys are going to act stupid every dang time. As I said in the blog at 9deuce.com/wrestling, all that was missing from that scene was Admiral Akbar saying, it's a trap.
Obvious trap obvious.
In all fairness, though, I mean, if we want to bring gender into it, how obvious of a setup was it for Sasha to come out and just immediately get her ass handed to her? Everybody's dumb in wrestling. It's not a gender thing. Everybody's just a fucking idiot. And Russ, you're muted. I see your lips moving.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Faces are dumb. But heels are also... You're right. Everybody's dumb. There's not a smart person in wrestling except for one.
I should just let you keep going.
Nah, I looked down as soon as you said it. I saw it was red. So I was going to stop it right there and start over.
Can I ask the hard-hitting question? Yes, I can. Carrie, from a female's perspective... Who's the better-looking gentleman, Enzo or Rusev? I mean, there's really only one answer, but I mean, we just need to hear it out of your mouth.
Well, honestly, I find neither of them attractive.
Is it because they're too hairy, right? She's nodding her head, yes, of course.
Have you seen Eric? Okay, I rest my case.
Seen Eric?
Those are not her guys, Enzo and Kat, or Rusev.
Yeah, they're really not my type. But,
I'd say almost the Big Cass is kind of her type.
But Big Cass is not option here. I'm giving two options here, and I'm seeing the wavering over here, like a little hula dance, but I'm still not hearing an answer out of this one.
Well, I'm still debating it in my head, Kent.
Russ, why don't you ask hard-hitting questions like this?
Well, I'm not as good a host as you are, apparently.
No, you're clearly...
All right, so I'm going to pick now, so we can move on.
Okay.
I'll pick Rusev.
Rusev Machka. Rusev sexy boy.
He is, out of the two, he is definitely sexy. But, all right, let's go to this, because Kat, you said this in the blog... 9deuce.com/wrestling. You said that this is all leading up to Rusev and Cass, which I agree with you, totally is. And you're not excited about seeing this. I'm shocked. It's two hosses, and one of them we think is going to be huge in the future, and one should be huge right now, and he kind of is. They're just not treating him the way they should. I'm excited about this match. This is the one match I think I've got going for me going into Roadblock that I kind of want to see. You don't.
Here's my reason why. It's like, I don't like random encounters because I don't like people, right? I don't like random stories in wrestling. This should be building up to Enzo versus Rusev with Cass banned from ringside. Like, this coming Monday, Cass should interfere in a match creating Enzo versus Rusev, setting up for Royal Rumble when Big Cass and Rusev are like number one and two, and then we can go on to February and elongate the storyline. Why are we trying to bust our proverbial right now when we could be drawing this out and building up a mid-card? That's where my lack of excitement is.
Because
right now, Cass is doing jack shit. Just saying. Well, why bust it?
Well, because we're men. And we always go early. It's faster the better. Oh, you're talking about the wrestling.
No, I'm not going to feed into your depravity.
I'm sorry. You're talking about wrestling.
Too soon.
Well, we don't know what they're doing yet.
That's
they
what she
could
said.
Be doing what you're saying. I highly doubt it because it's logical. So definitely not. That's out the window. But they could be doing that. We don't know yet. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. And I do want to see Rusev versus Cass. They're... I don't know. Enzo's kind of getting shafted in this. I agree with you, because what's he going to do?
Right. Like, they expect Enzo to just be able to stay afloat because of his mic skills and lose every single time, and you can't do that. At least if he's in a singles match where he stands and holds his own. Even if he loses, Rusev has a pedigree at this point. He's an established, you know, upper mid-card guy. If he loses in a good 15-17 minute back and forth match, he doesn't really lose credibility. If he's not on the pay-per-view card, that really sinks his credibility. Kerry, what are you thinking here? Are you thinking that? I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you keep him off the card, he loses all credibility. You don't see him in the ring, the fans don't react. There's no fan reaction. And in the case of Enzo, you don't want him to continuously lose because that ruins his character and his momentum. And just, it, this whole situation, while it, at the face, it looks like it's going in the right direction. What creative's going to do when they do this all the time is they're going to just push everything too fast and ruin it.
Well,
and I mean, ruin a storyline that I don't think any of us wanted in the first place.
I didn't want
it.
Although,
wanted it, but it's a mid-card feud, at least. Yeah. I mean, that's something we have been begging for, is a mid-card feud. No matter how stupid it is, it keeps Enzo and Cass out of the tag team championship picture for the time being while they do what they're doing.
We should discuss that.
go for it, Russ.
We will.
Knock my socks off. I'm not wearing any.
All right, but you do bring up a good point. It is a mid-card feud. I don't know if we were asking for it, but I'm kind of into it now. At first I was a little bit, this is stupid. Now I'm kind of liking it. They're giving it they're giving it character. They're making it more interesting.
They're giving it an edge. I mean, yeah. What was the last time you saw edge to something like, I mean, in a sexiness thing, WWE's really
straight
far, far away. And they kind of gave us a little attitude era without going
too far
and killing off their Kay Jeweler relationship.
Right.
Everybody go buy Kay Jewelers.
Every kiss begins with K. Ball. Ken. Eh? Silence.
But yeah, no, we were asking for it. We were asking for a Rusev feud, were we not?
Yeah, we were, absolutely. And I
mean, just because we didn't get our way, like the typical wrestling fans we are, we're slightly unhappy, but at least we're getting something.
Right, and at least it's not, I'll be honest with you, at least it's not for the USA title. I mean, granted, they're totally wasting it right now, but at least Rusev's kind of stepping away from it a little bit.
Russ, it looks good around Roman Reigns.
It does.
It's real good.
It does. It looks fantastic. He doesn't do anything with it, and that's what I think I like about it the best.
God. He treats objects like women.
So good. So good. But you're right. I'm just hoping they don't... It seems like they're using Enzo for Cass's push. So they're like literally putting Cass on Enzo's hands, and Enzo's pushing him up, and Enzo's only going to fall down, and he's going to go nowhere. He is definitely the Marty Jannetty in this group.
That's what they've been doing for 2 years, though. They've been using Enzo to keep Cass afloat because Cass has never been good enough on the mic. Cass has been adequate on the mic. He's never been good enough to be on the mic and hold his own for a full feud. They've been doing this for 2 years now. It's just really, really blatant in this particular circumstance.
True. Now, we could be wrong. They could all of a sudden make it Enzo versus Cass.
Russ, when was the last time I was wrong in wrestling?
Last week.
Probably.
I think we're all wrong in wrestling at every moment in time, even when we're right.
How's TJ Perkins doing, Russ?
Awesome. You know, he is the number one cruiserweight, I hear. Shut up.
Russ, when was the last time Carmella held a belt?
Well, that's not fair.
Russ, how's your boy Kalisto doing?
Why didn't I like Kalisto?
Just saying.
Actually, Kalisto and Baron Corbin. Let's go to that route because, you know, Baron gives somebody a raging clue around here.
Looking your way, Kerry.
Their match at TLC, I'm not going to lie to you, I was impressed. It was really good.
It impressed Steve, okay? And Steve's not an easy man to really impress nowadays with wrestling. And he kind of kept bringing up Corbin versus Kalisto. So if it's good enough for Steve, it really should be good enough for most of us.
Well, do we all agree it's big things for Corbin? Like, they're definitely aiming him in that direction, even though it seems like they're always misstepping every other week. But doesn't it seem like they kind of are leading to something with him, even if it's slow?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the Kalisto match was just a start. Even afterwards, he kind of like said, hey, you know, I beat Kalisto. What's next for me? I already passed this test. What's next?
True.
But that match, though, just to talk about that match for a second. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Watching him basically swat Kalisto out of the air with a chair was just fantastic.
How long is this going to last? Look down, Russ. Look down. Now look sad and say doe.
Doe. All right, anyway, as I said, my favorite part was bowling for Kalisto. That was definitely my favorite part. Man, you know what the worst part is? I'm so used to just not hitting it every few seconds, and I hate it. Now I'm hitting it every time I talk now.
Are you treating it like a walkie-talkie or something?
I don't know. Before, I used to just hit it once, look up, and when I want to talk, hit it again. Now I'm just hitting it every time I talk. It's really weird. All right, I will try to mute myself next time.
No, but anyway, it's more fun this way.
Bowling for Kalisto. I thought that was hilarious.
It was. I let out a girlish glee, loudness noise when that happened. I have no shame in admitting that because, you know, as the original Baron Corbin mark on this show, it's nice to finally, like, when you actually see somebody you have put a lot of thought into actually shine. It's been a while since Baron has truly shined, aside from on Talking Smack. In ring, he hasn't really shined. In ever. This was like his first really good match that he's ever had, in my opinion. He's had solid performances. This was his first really good match.
This is the first above average. Most of his matches are, I would say, right around average. Nothing great, nothing terrible. It's not like you're going to go, oh my God, Baron Corbin, get out of here.
Very mediocre, yes.
But yeah, this is the first match I can honestly say I enjoyed. So you got to give Kalisto credit.
I'll tell you who else started off in a very similar way. Kerry, you might be a little more familiar with this man. He's from your neck of the woods. A man by the name of Big Dave Bautista.
Oh, yes.
He started off in a very similar... he was shit the first year. He sucked on the mic. And then he started getting feet under him. Then he got Evolution. And then he became, you know, a Guardian of the Galaxy.
which is cool.
Yeah. He has come a long way. I remember when he first came in. Holy crap, what garbage.
He was the Deacon Batista with Brother Devon.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Kent, that's really got your goat from Raw this week that you really want to hit?
Yeah, because actually it's something you brought up, but I just want to double down on it. Terrible, terrible, terrible waste of Gallagher's time and effort.
Oh.
The man is money, and they're going to make him the next Eugene. They're going to make him this sympathetic face that does a couple of neat moves and then gets a little too cocky and then gets rolled up for the win. That's going to be happening within 2 months, unfortunately.
I hope that's not true, because I'm going to tell you guys right now, my man crush of the week is Jack Gallagher. So
go on.
Yes. See, I knew I would excite you with it. When you brought it up, I thought it was the perfect time to go to my segment, man crush of the week. So, yep, Jack Gallagher is my man crush of the week, and here's why. This guy is explosive in the ring. Now, I caught most of the Cruiserweight Classic, but I missed his match, or I wasn't paying attention to it. But I am going to go back and watch it, because his 205 Live debut, that match was great, and it was what? Not even 10 minutes? Maybe a little more than 10 minutes?
No, it was probably right around the 7-8 minute mark, you know, excluding entrances and shit.
Right. So his match just in that time with Daivari was awesome. And got to give credit to Daivari. Daivari did a really good job.
Don't you see Daivari kind of, he has potential as that guy to just be the mean dick heel.
Yeah, the mean heel. He's got it. He definitely is. I like him. But Gallagher, holy cow, his offense is amazing. It's just so smooth flowing. His move sets are just so smooth if you watch him. Going from one move to the next, it's so fluent, it's like it's supposed to happen. And granted, that's what it's supposed to do. But like when he tied Daivari up in that knot, that was hilarious. And that's when I was like, yes, this guy right here, he's got it. And so I'm hoping, but then they totally ruined him on Raw. So now they bring him on Raw, and I was thinking, yes, great, people are going to finally see what this guy's about. And no, they give him a 5-minute match, not even the length of their 205 match. And they don't even let him do half his moves. He starts doing a move, and it's not against Daivari, because Daivari has to do something. But he would start to get moving. People started getting up and excited about it, and then Daivari shut it down, and they never let him capitalize on it. Right?
And the match never got into a flow.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't give him enough time. Right, 10 minutes is a minimum for Gallagher. So I love his music, love his offense. This guy is everything.
Do you ever sing the beer song? When he comes out?
What is that? No.
There's the beer song, and it's set to that exact song.
Oh, okay.
So, hey, there you go. All right.
Plus,
I mean, it's, you know what I got to say? It's really nice to see a superstar who represents my race, the pasty.
The blindingly white, yes.
Yeah, it's nice
him
to see
him and Sheamus represent.
Hell yeah.
So, Carrie, did you get to see this match?
I did not. This was on probably at the start of the show, right?
Almost the second hour. I want to say it's in the second hour.
It was right around the middle, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably right before I got back to the house.
I was going
to
say it's about 9:15, probably 9:20.
Yeah, I was still en route from puppy obedience classes.
Okay, well. Well, I will say this. It was garbage. I mean, it did disservice to both Daivari and Gallagher. Because I'm telling you, you want to watch this guy. I recommend it to anybody. Watch this guy. Watch his matches. If he's given 10 minutes, if you're not on his side, I will be floored.
I'd like to see him against, you know, 20 years ago, Regal. Because I think they would have a hell of a showing.
Because
Regal was a little thinner back then. It would have been a really good matchup. Or even him and Kirk, him and Benoit, like those type of guys. Who's around for him to really have like a good chain wrestle with? I'm thinking maybe Kendrick could provide that. But there's really not many guys that chain wrestle like that anymore.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's true. Chain wrestling is almost a lost art. Almost. There are some, like, some of the guys that do it now a little bit. Jericho does it a little bit.
Dolph is capable.
Dolph is capable. Miz is definitely capable. Seth can do it. He does it every once in a while when he has some bigger guys.
Oh, Seth. Oh, God, bring up Seth every time. Yeah, Baron Corbin could do it, too.
I have not seen Baron Corbin do chain wrestling. He's a power wrestler.
You're missing out. You are so missing out. That Widow's Peak of his.
That's true. All right. So that was my man crush. I do believe.
Carrie, did you see the Blair Witch or something? Your eyes just like went really darty back and forth. Explain yourself.
No. Oh, I just heard a weird noise.
It is the Blair Witch. All right.
So Carrie's dead. So, Ken.
Oh, Christ. You're picking up her story of the week. I don't feel like doing any extra work.
Oh, man, I don't want to do any extra work either.
I'll give her eulogy.
All right, so Kat, were you going to bring up something else? Because I know I cut you off, but I wanted to bring up my man crush since you were going to talk about it. Or we hit it.
No, I'm so done with everything. Can we just move on to something good like SmackDown?
Sure. All right, let's talk SmackDown. In fact, let's talk what I want to bring up this week. Hey, we're getting to what I want to bring up, unlike last week. Ambrose and Miz. Do we want to see this? Because at first I was like, okay, I don't really care. And SmackDown happened, and now I'm like, yes, I do want this. Maybe not right away, but I want this feud. Carrie?
I'm going to completely contradict what I said in the blog, but...
Typical female.
Hey, watch it. Anyway, I'm for it. I think it'll be entertaining, and it'll definitely be better than a feud with him and Ellsworth. As I said in the blog, 90s wrestling. I mean, 90s.com/wrestling. Yes.
What?
If you're
it's 90s.com/wrestling. There's no 90swrestling.com/wrestling.
Yes. If we're going to shill, we shill right.
I am so sorry. Let me try that again, everyone. 90s.com/wrestling. I saw all I needed to see of the Ellsworth-Ambrose feud. Ambrose coming out. Dirty Deeds, Ambrose leaving. That's all we need to see of that feud. Let's have him feud with Miz.
That was good. I like how he came out, Dirty Deeds, then walked right back out. That was perfect. That's exactly what needed to happen.
Oh, Eric and I were laughing uncontrollably. We were just like, that was fantastic.
You know, I want to defend Ellsworth on something that I read online, so I have no idea the truth of it, but I think it was actually an interview with him, where he said that, especially early on, every time he'd come out, when he'd go backstage, he'd find Vince and just get like a word in with him, just be like, hey, is there anything I can do better, anything I'm doing right, or whatever. And that is something that you don't hear enough of the young guys doing. And I don't know, like, Grant, I know you're nervous and you're trying to keep a job and get a contract with these guys, but he's doing it right. Even if we don't like the character, we're sick of the character, whatever the case may be, I just want to give props for him doing it the right way, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I read that too, so I think it was an interview. But I'm not sick of Ellsworth. I like what they're doing with him, but I just want him out of the main event. He is not.
But won't he be main eventing Royal Rumble with AJ? Like, that's going to be the throwaway match so you can have other top stars in the Rumble and keep, you know, AJ's not going to be in the Rumble. There's no point in it. So when it makes sense for them to continue Ellsworth and have that throwaway match, like, I don't know, remember Brock versus Hardcore Holly almost 10 years ago? It was a terrible match, but they just gave it to Bob Holly so they could have better superstars in the Rumble.
Right, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Ellsworth should definitely be AJ's opponent at the Rumble. I don't know if they're going to do that because I thought they were going to give us the match last night. And the only reason they didn't was because AJ is actually injured. So,
Do you think it would be a good match? I actually think it will still be a better match because AJ is just doing great things right now.
I was going to say, AJ can make you or I look good in that ring, I think, honestly.
Russ, why put you in that figure eight?
I'll be singing a different tune. You're right. We need to record it. Right. We're recording it.
Yeah, we absolutely are.
So Carrie can see it. And B,
yes, definitely, because I won't be there.
Yes.
So I want video evidence of this, guys.
And I also want to be able to put it up on the website, 9deuce.com/wrestling.
So I've trained you monkeys well.
So, but for me, I kind of like what they're doing with Ellsworth a little bit. I say for the next month and a half, let Dean and Ellsworth have it out. You know, let them culminate their final match or whatever, have them have a match. Actually have Ellsworth deliver a little bit, because he needs to do something. Because if he's going to be a joke like he is right now, he'll be done within 2 weeks.
He needs somebody to carry him to like a 10 or 12 minute long match. Because,
yes.
I mean, he's probably been doing that in the indies, but not obviously in the big time. And Dean, AJ, those type of guys are perfect guys to give him those matches without making it too boring.
True. Yeah, and he needs to have that. So those guys are the guys to have it with. But his first real match has to be good. It can't be garbage. Because if it's garbage, he's done. I will say it right now. The second he moves away from Dean and AJ, he's done.
What if he goes against Corbin? Oh, yeah, then he's done.
He's definitely done, because Corbin's going to squash him.
Who would win, Titus O'Neil or James Ellsworth?
At this point, James Ellsworth.
Absolutely. Think about that.
It'd be two moves. I'd give him two moves. Let's have Titus hit like an arm bar or maybe a clothesline. We'll give Titus a clothesline. Ellsworth gets up. Sweet chin music's the guy, or no chin music's the guy. And then maybe no chin music some again, and that's it.
I'd pay for that.
Talk about...
Sounds about right.
Talk about waste of talent. Oh, poor Titus. They boned him so hard.
I don't get it. I don't get why a guy who, from all reports, is a legitimately nice human being, like, puts all of us to shame. Mm-hmm. Like, he pays for homeless people to go eat at a restaurant. Like, he, you know, volunteers his time and money and shit, and he's jobbing in one move.
Yeah.
It's just so bad for him. And yet, at least he's on TV, whereas Darren Young, really, like, we were worried about Apollo. Can we switch over the milk cartons to Darren Young so we find him?
Absolutely. I don't know what happened to him either.
You know what I'm really worried about Paulo? Is he showed back up and then completely disappeared again. So I don't know. It seems like he came out of wherever he was hiding and then they caught him and said, no, go back in the dungeon.
I don't know. I hate to say it, but really, it is kind of like a thing where WWE really doesn't know what the hell to do with black dudes.
I agree.
They just don't. Like, the only black dude that's ever had a lot of big success in the past 20 years has been Booker T, who basically inherited all that from WCW. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't really have to do much in WWE to get over. They don't know what the hell they're doing with black dudes. They kind of knew what they did with Mark Henry for, 6 months with the Hall of Pain?
Yep.
Baffling to me.
But okay. Is it any different than what they should be doing with any other person? Like, they're finally starting to get it with the women. Treat them like the guys. Give them the matches that the guys match up with. I knew you were going to do that. But they're finally starting to get that with the women. And now we're finally starting to be like, okay, women's matches aren't total waste of time. So they can still be a waste of time. But they're not total waste of time. Can't they do that with the African-American guys? Just give
us... Wow, playing it safe.
I'm not going to go the other route. Can't they do that with these guys? Just give us something we're interested in watching. That's all I ever care about with wrestling. Give me something that, A, makes sense, B, is entertaining to a point where either I laugh or I'm entertained by it because I want to see it, or at least give me a good, decent match. That's all I ask.
There's no reason, considering that we know that black people, based on sports, black people tend to be more athletic than white guys. So there is no reason that we can't have these athletic gentlemen out there kicking ass, getting let's face it, white kids buy sneakers because of the NBA stars, right? Like, white people always wanted a little part of the black culture, right? So why are we not making money off of this? Why are we not giving them opportunities? Why are we not building up a fan base so that young black kids, you know, male and female, have some people to look up to. I mean, they try so hard with the Hispanics, but they don't give a fuck about the black. It baffles me, really. It's, I'm crying borderline racism.
Almost. Like, okay, I won't go that far, but what I will say is this. Can't you see Titus? Titus needs to work on his mic skills a little bit before he can be main eventing. But couldn't Apollo Crews or Titus, possibly Darren, couldn't they be main eventing?
There's no reason Titus couldn't have the same push that Braun had.
Exactly.
There's no reason. Titus is way better on the mic than Braun is.
Yep.
It's absolutely ridiculous. We had, you know, what they refer to as the Black Cena and Darren Young.
Yep.
Which actually, that could have culminated into something interesting, but they chose not to go that route, and it's stupid on their it's money that's just slipping through their fingers,
right,
is what it is. But they're making it back thanks to Kay Jeweler and setting up an engagement ring for that couple, and we got to see it during the pay-per-view, and I couldn't have been happier for that young couple. Kudos to them.
That was funny. Kudos to you, Kat. That was funny. All right, we barely talked about the Ambrose and Miz part because we got totally sidetracked.
You know what? It was a good clash of styles that worked. Like, Dean needs a good person to work with. We've already established that. Miz is on fire. It works. I just don't want to see them. Is it now a good time to have that feud to, like, get us through to WrestleMania season?
No.
Or should we hold off on it until we need that feud?
I think that feud should be the main event or a Mania feud. Where
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think that's what it should be. I think Dean for the next month and a half should be going after Ellsworth. Then either, I'll be honest with you, I think he should be at the Rumble. In the Rumble, not fighting for Miz's title. I don't know what they're going to do with Miz at that point. Maybe put Miz in the thing, too, and have them screw each other over. And then they start fighting for the belt at that point. Then we start the feud. Foley. Mick Foley.
I mean, let's face it, Goldberg's going to eliminate both of them anyways by looking at them.
Oh, God, I totally forgot they were both in that.
Is there any... I mean, I know this is... We're going to have plenty of things to say in the month of January. But right now, do you see anything optimistic coming from their inclusion? I just don't see any positives of Brock and Goldberg being in the Royal Rumble match itself.
I can't think of any positives. Oh, wait. Yes. Just one. It'll get people to actually watch that aren't, you know, normal fans.
This is why I don't like Luke Perry go, because that was my only giving. I was like, see, yeah, it's going to get people, casual fans, to watch. So.
That's it. It sucks. Carrie, do you think that Dean would make a good Intercontinental title champion, or do you think it's beneath him? Because I feel one way strongly, but I know at least one of you two believe the antithesis of my belief.
I may have alluded to that in the blog. My reasoning.
Where is that?
9deuce.com/wrestling.
She's getting it. She's getting it.
I have one moment where I can not get my words together, and you just, neither of you are going to let me live it down. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes.
Rusev is dreaming, yes.
No, that's not what I was saying. Man, I completely lost my
We were talking about the Intercontinental Championship and if Dean was worthy or too high and mighty.
Well, I wouldn't say that necessarily go that far. Maybe I should have chosen my words a little bit better when I wrote that my response to that question. But, like, we just seen him come out of a feud for the Heavyweight Championship. Now he's all of a sudden feuding for the IC title. It's almost like, why was he feuding for this if we think that we should be feuding for this other thing? It's just almost too soon, But it's definitely a feud that should happen. It's just too soon for it.
So here's my question. Is it better off to have the guy who loses the world title feud to go into a feud with the next guy that you want in the rotation for the world heavyweight? Or is it smarter to lower him down, have him lose the IC and raise the prestige? And let's not forget, the best mid-card champion we've had in a long time was John Cena. Love him or hate him, his U.S. title run was the best mid-card run we have seen in years. And, I mean, Miz's was second until, you know, what they did. But Cena's was by far the best. So, in my belief, I actually would rather see a guy who's known as a main event guy hold that belt and add prestige to it, as long as they don't Alberto Del Rio the hell out of it. I mean, I know you're a big fan of Alberto and Paige, but still. I also believe that Paige is going to be on Total Divas.
She is going to be on Total Divas.
Yeah. Can't wait for that.
Oh, yes. It, apparently, she's going to be coming back soon.
Her Did I just see the Hamburglar?
No.
Yes, yes, you did. Eric's a hamburger. Okay. You do bring up a good point. Paige is coming back. I believe her 60-day suspension's almost up.
Who cares? Can we go back to talking about the Intercontinental title?
Oh, okay.
Sure. Do you think it helps, Russ? Do you want Dean? Do you think Dean makes it for a good Intercontinental champion, or is he too above it?
No, he's not above it. The Intercontinental Championship used to be the match or the belt for the working class, the ones that we used to love, absolutely. So I've never seen the IC belt as being a step down. Yes, it's the second belt, but there's times when it's better. Right now, it's not. Well, AJ, Dean to some extent, Brock and Rollins kind of brought that belt up a little bit. AJ is doing really good with
for
it.
For fuck's sakes, you and Rollins. Rollins hasn't done shit.
Well, recently, no. But
I swear to God, we're going to have another court case, and I'm going to bury you alive again.
I believe I won that court case, sir. I believe I won it.
All right. You know what? Maybe next time I'll get a Bulgarian accent, grow some chest hair, and then we'll see who wins it.
I don't know if I could argue. I couldn't argue it right now. There's nothing Rollins can do. He's not winning again until WrestleMania. He's literally on a losing streak till WrestleMania.
Which is okay, because, I mean, he had such a long win streak.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, he does need to pick up a win here and there, because the fans are totally into him.
Yep.
It's kind of like WWE really hates capitalizing on 70% of what they do right. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
true.
Heath Slater, for instance.
Oh, they're
got him the belt and did jack with him.
Now, there's a guy we want to talk about. Is he going to be moving in? I think he should be the next. Well, okay, I don't know about the next, but he should be feuding with The Miz soon.
Something that I meant to write in the blog and I didn't. I just want to get this out there. Before AJ drops the belt, you know, when it eventually does happen,
right,
before then, I just want to see Heath versus AJ in a 20-minute SmackDown main event, just because I think that would really highlight all of Heath's positive attributes in the ring. I'd love to see that match. That's all.
AJ, they should be spreading the wealth with AJ. AJ should be going around to almost every single one of the people he can fight and showing everyone how it's done, because he can do it with any. Is there anybody AJ couldn't fight with that he couldn't make?
Baron Corbin.
No, because Baron Corbin's already good.
Yeah, but Baron, AJ would have to flop around too much and oversell Baron's offense. It wouldn't be a good combination at this point in time. Baron versus Heath, on the other hand, would actually be an interesting feud to me. Baron versus Rhino, well, that happened in NXT, but still would be. But Baron and AJ, I don't think would click that well.
I'd be curious. I'd be interested to see it. It won't happen. They're both heels, so we won't ever see it. I hate that about wrestling right now. They won't let heels feud with heels and face feud with faces anymore.
They won't let heels be heels. Period. Like,
true.
That's all. Yeah. They won't let the boys be boys. So slam.
Da da da. All right, guys. We need to dip into the mailbag. So,
I ate some French onion dip yesterday.
That's irrelevant.
Relevant.
So, Kent, could you please tell everyone where, if they want to ask us a question that we will answer on Wednesdays, what's the email address? Because, you know, I've been chilling. Carrie's been chilling. We need you to chill a little bit.
They can just call me.
Do they know your number?
Sure, why not? You know, they could email Kent at 9deuce. That is the number 9 and the word deuce. deuce.com. As a matter of fact, I actually want to just make a Russ and a Carrie at 9deuce.com because I'm paying money for it, so why the hell not?
All right.
That way, in case people don't like me, i.e. the majority of the listening audience, they could actually email somebody that they actually like instead of me.
Well, to be fair, Carrie and I are the majority listening audience, too, so you're right.
Yeah. I'm a heel.
No, okay, yes. So, Kent at 9deuce.com. That's the number 9deuce.com. Send us your emails with your questions. We will be more than happy to answer them on air. We do have a few this week, guys. One is, interestingly enough, one of our questions.
So, go on.
Yes, kind of weird.
Maybe that inspired me to ask the question.
That's
on the
a possibility.
Blog.
I don't know, because you're the one who said.
Because I get to see these emails before you do.
That's true.
And then I write the thing.
That's true, too. I didn't think about it that way. All right, so here's the email. Guys, love the show. Could you tell me your favorite finishers? Signed, Boo Radley. And I think that's appropriate. Boo Radley. Yeah. Kill a Mockingbird.
I have something to show you, but it's going to take me 30 seconds. So, Carrie, answer that question.
All right, Carrie, what's your favorite finisher?
Of all time or current?
He didn't specify, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, well then, I don't know. I'm a huge Rock fan, so I'm going to go Rock Bottom.
Can't go wrong with the Rock Bottom, absolutely. If I'm going to go with my favorite finisher of all time, I am definitely going with Angle's Angle Slam. I loved seeing him do that. That was probably my personal favorite finisher. Current finisher is definitely Styles Clash. The only thing I have against Styles Clash is you clearly see that the guy has to help him to get into the move. But I love the Styles Clash. Just looks devastating. So that's my new favorite. All right, Kent, what do you got? I'm looking right at it. It shouldn't be attacking me. That's awesome. So Kent's showing me a Boo. Literally a Boo. From Mario Brothers.
Christmas shopping's fun.
It is fun.
Oh, Christ. So what was Carrie's answer? I didn't get to hear it because I was busy finding
since
Boo.
Since the reader or the emailer didn't specify, just saying our all-time favorite finishers. And you can say your current and your most all-time. I don't care.
Well, thanks for giving me the option on my podcast, Russ. I really appreciate that.
I'm making the rules here, so you should be definitely thankful.
Well, the dude abides. All right, so all-time finisher, I'll answer a second. Currently, I really like a lot of the tag team finishes. Like, I know it's cliche for me to say End of Days. End of Days is cool. But Grand Amplitude, what the Revival does, I don't even know what the hell the Revival calls their finisher. The Ascension has a sweet finisher. A lot of these tag teams have good finishers. And we don't get, the tag team division becomes like a forgotten art unless you're watching NXT.
Or
so,
SmackDown.
Yeah. Even the Hype Brothers have an okay one. I don't know what the hell it's called, but it's not bad.
I like Magic Killer. Tag team's Magic Killer. I love Magic Killer.
Yeah, Magic Killer, which, no, I'm not going to make that joke on air. Even I have standards.
That's good.
Since Dudleys are gone, I don't know. I guess we will go with the Pedigree, even though I don't like Rollins' delivery per se. The Pedigree's always been a finisher that I've often admired because it looks badass. Although if Shane McMahon's still kind of an active competitor, I will give him the Van Terminator.
Mm.
Except for the last. As far as all time, though, shit. I still like the RKO and Diamond Cutter. Not the stunner, because you can't hit that out of nowhere. But DDP, I mean, he was doing that shit while Randy Orton was a teenager, and it looked awesome. And all these people doing super kicks, nothing looked as good as Shawn Michaels doing it. But yeah, I'll still just go with my tried and true answer. Undertaker.
Yeah. Tombstone Pile Driver, Chokeslam.
Bitch, please.
Yeah, Tombstone Pile Driver, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I also liked Macho Man's, because if you think about a guy jumping that high in the air and then coming down with the point of his elbow in your chest,
it's going to hurt.
That's going to kill. Like, Hulk Hogan dropping a leg, you're just going to be like, could you put some pants on? But Macho Man dropping the elbow is going to hurt significantly. So that's my pick. I can hear what Russ is saying. Oh, wait. No, I can't.
No, you can't. I did it again. Oh, my God. I thought, you know what the worst part is? I pushed it to mute it. I pushed it again to talk, and I muted it.
Did you know that there's a red light when you are muted?
Yes. Yes, I know. But the way I'm holding it is I'm holding it over the red light. I think that's my problem. All right. Yep. As I was saying, I love the RKO to Nowhere. I have an affinity for that. It's the RKO itself, it's okay. The RKO to Nowhere is awesome. It's a lot of fun. So I'll agree with you on that one. All right, cool. Our next email is from, oh, come on, Rusty Shackleton.
Are you sure you're reading that right?
No, maybe you told me it wrong. I thought it was Rusty Shackleton. What is it?
I believe somebody took it from King of the Hill. It's Rusty Shackleford. Maybe you just can't read my handwriting.
I can't hear your handwriting. Shackleford. Yeah. Sorry, Rusty Shackleford. Okay, I still say come on to that, really. All right, anyway, email is this. Guys, what do you think of the state of the U.S. title? Is Roman doing it justice?
Believe that. The Hounds of Justice, of course he's doing it justice.
He is a Hound of Justice, that is true. Kerry, what do you got?
It would take him defending it to actually do it any justice, guys.
Against two.
It doesn't matter?
Yes, it does. They have to be at Roman's caliber.
There is no competition for that man. That man is a god. Yeah. A Greek-Roman reigns god.
Okay, some people could say the same thing about John Cena. So to your point earlier about John Cena elevating the U.S. title, why are we not having an open challenge with Roman Reigns if he is at the same level as John Cena?
John Cena can wrestle. Why are you even talking? Red light. Look at it. Jesus.
I'm just going to give up. Just talk.
You're just making me laugh.
I'm just going to give it up now. So go ahead, Kat. Go. I'm giving up.
In all fairness, Cena actually knows how to wrestle, but Roman is putting on. Roman has not had a single bad pay-per-view match this year. Granted, most of it has to do with his opponent, but at some point you have to agree that it takes two to tango. But there's really, what competition is there? That's WWE's problem, is that they did not build up that mid-card division where you sit there and you're like, who's he going to fight that's going to beat him? Is there anybody, maybe Big Cass, if they push him for like 4 months? But it was pointless to put it on Roman without competition. At least Cena had competition week in and week out. He had Neville. Neville gave him good matches, but Neville was relevant then. When was the last time we saw Neville?
Yeah, he's also with Apollo Crews and Darren.
That'd be a great stable.
Would be. You know, you're going to bring up a good point. Cena, at least when he had his open challenge, he had everybody on the roster. They've screwed the pooch with this one because Roman just... Who does he have that he can fight with? You're right. I was just trying to, like, no, I'm going to beat Kent here and I'm going to say who he can fight with. There's nobody. There's no mid-card on Raw, and that's their problem. They have the top four guys. They got Rusev, which just lost the belt to Roman, so there's no point in putting it back on him. And who else? Titus? Oh, okay. He just lost the tussle in Texas, although that was a fantastic match. He just didn't put in the right effort to win. So Titus is out. Okay, Zayn, Braun, I can see them taking it off.
How about this? As I suggested in the blog, why not Big Show? Why not make Big Show be, like, give him that nice run, because hopefully he's facing Shaq at WrestleMania, you know, 5 years too late, but why not put some shine on one of your biggest commodities? Whether you love him or not, if you've seen wrestling live and you've seen Big Show, you know damn well you pay attention to him because you ain't seen a guy that big. So it's kind of cool to see. So why not, I don't know, why not build it around Big Show? Make it like a knockout challenge where, you know, if he doesn't knock you out, within 15 minutes, you win the belt. That'd be a cool gimmick. They could work that for 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, I guess, and they could give him a little bit of a push. He could have a belt. Sure, why not? You know, he deserves it. He's been there for a while. I could see it working.
I mean, Mark Henry would also work, but I think Big Show is just a little bit more easier to do it with right now because he's come back in such amazing shape. I mean, he looks good.
Big Show, yeah. Doesn't look like a big turd.
Fat ass.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope they have to do something. I think they're taking the right steps with Enzo and Cass versus Rusev to get a mid-card. But there are guys ready to go for mid-card. And they
are they willing and gable?
I would say yes. Yes, they are willing and gable.
Where's Willing? Is he in NXT?
Probably.
Sweet.
So, I agree with you. I think they can do stuff. And I think they are starting to take those steps, but it is way too late now. Or they're doing it at the wrong time because this is the worst time of the year for wrestling.
We're in like the shit holding pattern until Royal Rumble, where we're going to obviously establish who's going to win the Rumble, which is boring as fuck. I mean, right now, who's winning the Royal Rumble? I want to ask that question to both of you. Right now, who's winning the Rumble?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Well, crickets chirp, because this is a tough one.
Well, Carrie would like to answer it, because she looks like she has a definite answer. She has a gleam in her eye.
Just because it's the obvious choice, probably Reigns.
I knew you were going that route. Somehow I knew she was going to say the Roman Reigns. I'm not going that route. Nobody. Goldberg at this point. And I don't even want that.
Yeah,
because
Goldberg's going to face Lesnar at WrestleMania, Russ. Come on now.
Yeah? You sure that's not going to be Shane?
You have two obvious choices here. It's only one of two people that's winning it.
All right, go ahead.
Finn Balor, it seems like the lock to
me. If he comes back.
Yeah, Carrie, you should have thought about that one.
He's not. Is he coming back?
There's a good chance he could be back in order to get a few eliminations.
Okay.
Because he'll be healthy.
Okay, I didn't know he'd be coming back. So, yeah, you're right. He'd be a good choice.
Yeah. And the other one's going to be Cena. Of course, 16 time. Build that up for WrestleMania. Or he wins it and he's like, I don't even want a championship reign. I want Taker. You have so many routes to take with Cena. If it's not one of those two, I don't know. I'll put Russ in a figure 16 leg lock.
Is that where you arch your back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right. We do have one more email to get to, and then we also have the big news story of the week, which we haven't done yet.
Correct. So what's the next question? Let's make it quick so I can hear this great news story. I'm excited.
All right. So, from Mark Markington, another great name. We have some great named fans here. Guys, who's the next first-time female champion. I'm assuming by first time they mean that they have never held the belt yet.
At least on the main roster. I mean, I think that would make some sense, right?
Yes, I assume so. We're talking about main
roster. That's how we're going to interpret that question, Mr. Markington.
Markington.
Yeah. Where does he hail from? Smarksville, USA?
You didn't say it, I'm assuming yes.
Probably came from Jersey. All right, Kerry. Who's your first time?
Just given her body of work to date?
Just because she has an eating disorder, it's unfair to call it that. That's not nice.
I was going to say Carmella.
Oh.
Smooth, Kat. Smooth. Carmella? Okay. Kat?
Yeah. Has Naomi ever held the belt?
I want to say no, she has not.
Okay, good, because I'm not picking her. Go and go with Nia Jax.
You son of a bitch.
Yep. As I stole Carrie's answer before she said it, before she body shamed the hell out of Nia.
That's true. I'm also going to go with Nia Jax. Although, at this point, I don't think the belt's ever coming off of Sasha or Charlotte ever again, because they'll always have a rematch to claws to. So, I don't know if that's ever going to end as a cycle.
Really?
However,
like nobody wanted to go with Bayley here?
I don't know.
Nobody has faith in Bayley. That's stunning.
I do have faith in Bayley. It just seems like they dropped her all of a sudden.
But is it that you don't have faith in Bayley, or you don't have faith in WWE doing the right
there
thing?
There it is. I don't have the faith in WWE.
Kerry looks like she's got something to say about Bayley and her teddy bears.
Bayley
yes,
bears.
The teddy bear. The Bayley bears are adorable. But anyway, no, I have 100% faith in Bayley. I have is there a negative percentage? Because that's how much faith I have in creative.
You can't have less than 0%. That's coming from,
take it from him.
0%.
He's a mathematician.
I am a mathematician.
So then I have 0% faith that creative will book her properly and actually give her a title reign that she deserves. Hence why I did not pick Bayley.
All right.
Fair enough.
Definitely true. Okay, guys.
Can we get the news story now? Because I'm dying to hear. Yeah. Kerry's been hyping up this news story for minutes now.
Yes, and we have been inundated with so much else. Let's get to Kerry's big news story of the week. Kerry, what do you got for us?
All right. My big wrestling story of the week comes from a very unlikely news source for a pro wrestling podcast. It comes from Politico. Apparently, this evening, President-elect Trump picked none other than Linda McMahon to lead the Small Business Administration. This is, one of the organizations within the federal government, deals with a lot of small business issues and stuff like that. Basically, they met about a week ago to talk about the position, and now she's leading the Small Business Administration.
You know, I gotta say, if you're good enough to take a tombstone from Kane, you're good enough to run the Small Business Administration. That's my thoughts. Like, she's a very good, energetic, very charismatic public speaker, as we all know. I mean, she puts Vince to shame, let's face it, with her swagger.
She does have swagger.
Right. I think that's exactly where Jack is, as a matter of fact.
Yes, that's what happened to his swagger. Oh.
That'll replace the whale of my nightmares.
Oh, man.
Are you for it, Russ? Do you like this?
Oh, yeah. She's all right. She's clearly a businesswoman. She knows what she's talking about, especially with, I don't know, a small business. She's definitely successful with a huge business. It's not all Vince. We know that Linda had a lot to do with it. So, I think she's a good choice. It's not shocking because they are friends. So, yeah.
That's why I liked it. It was a good choice because you know that they have a past relationship. He knows that he can work well with Linda.
Yeah.
And, you know, in interviews with Vince always credits Linda for a lot of things.
Yes.
when he's not like in character. He gives her a lot of credit for probably stuff that, you know, none of us really know much about,
yeah.
Which is, I think she's probably a good, a safe choice, if nothing else.
Right. I don't think we're going to be hearing big things from her at all, or if anything, but I think she's a good choice. She'll do what she needs to be done. It won't destroy the place, or it may make it better, but it won't do any worse.
Yeah, I don't see much movement on either side of the spectrum. But, hey, this is the only time we're ever going to get political on this podcast.
Yep, that's about as political as we get right there.
Vote Gore.
And right there. All right. So we're wrapping this podcast up.
I want to play a game, goddammit.
Well, that's what I was going to do.
No.
Wrapping it up with a game.
Let's play it.
We are going to play a game.
Got some Mao.
Ket, yes.
Ian.
Yep. All right. So we are going to play Guess the Wrestler. Here's how it works, folks. Person, one of us, me this time, has a wrestler that we want the other two to guess. The other two get 9 questions to ask and then 2 guesses. 9 deuce. Get it? Eh? So.
Oh, is that why it's that way?
Yes. So I have the wrestler this week. I know a lot about him, but I might not know everything. But I'm going to try. So go ahead. I don't care who asked the first question, but go ahead.
Carrie, I would love for you to take the first stab at Russ with a knife and then ask your question.
All right. I'll go with the obvious question first. Male or female?
Male.
Current superstar or past?
Past.
Alive or dead?
Pretty sure right now he's alive.
In the Hall of Fame?
No.
Is he currently an active wrestler?
No, no, no.
Did he ever hold a world championship in it? A federation, one of the 3 main federations.
The answer to that, I believe, is yes. I am not 100% sure what federation, but yes, I do believe he has held a world title. That's 6.
Does he have a distinctive body feature?
What do you mean?
Like, is there something that you, when you look at him, you associate that body part with him?
Yes, but that might confuse you more than anything else. But yes.
And that certainly didn't help me at all. Did he traditionally wear the trunks, the short trunks, the Ric Flair trunks, if you will, or more pants or
pants.
Something that...
He was more of a pants guy.
Okay. See, that was slightly better than your distinguished body part thing.
Last...
Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
Yeah, in fact, I'll mention the body part afterwards, but it's not what you would be thinking. Go ahead, Carrie, you got the last question.
I gotta say, all I thought of was Psycho Sid's knee.
No.
That's all that Carrie's question helped, was me thinking of Sid's knee snapping, so.
Yeah, I would have shuddered on that one, because I would have had to think about it, and I'm like, ugh.
Not a current wrestler. So what era did he wrestle in?
Attitude. That was his big one. But he went past it, too. For a little bit.
Can I just ask something to go along with Carrie's great question?
Sure.
To get a little more clarification, could a body part mean it was distinguishable by tattoo feature?
Not in this case, no.
Okay, that's all I was trying to figure out.
All right, you guys got your choices?
Not at all.
I'll give you a huge hit afterwards once you take your guesses.
All Go ahead, Ken. I have no idea.
I saw the Hamburglar gun. Okay. So he wears pants. He's not in the Hall of Fame. And he has a distinctive body part. And Russ is just a jerk enough to possibly do the unthinkable. Is it Big Papa Pump?
No.
Damn it! So I was thinking about his large arms.
I know.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about his large feet, Carrie.
No, I actually think I have a guess. Right. I don't know if it's right, but Oh crap, his name just like completely...
Oh, this name would never escape you. You know who it is. As soon as I say it, you're going to know who it is.
Billy Gunn?
No, but you're close. Has a lot to do with D-Generation X.
X-Pac!
There you go, X-Pac. X-Pac! You were close.
Russ, what particular body part are you referring
to? Crotch chop! He always aimed at his crotch to make you look at his crotch, so he's always at the crotch chop. So he's always.
Listen, One Night in China did that enough for me.
My other clue was going to be he did visit China a lot. That was going to be my clue afterwards. So.
He's going to be the Hall of Fame potentially this year.
Yeah, he's got to be Hall of Fame. But I was like, no, he's not there yet. I'm pretty darn
no,
sure.
No, he's not.
He did own a world title, right, in TNA?
No. So you screwed us over.
Okay, sorry. I wasn't sure if it was. I thought he got it in TNA.
Yeah, no.
My bad.
Well, so that makes Carrie and I winners by default of false information.
It wasn't that false. Come on.
Being a world champion or not being a world champion kind of is a big deal.
Nonsense. Who cares?
I was hoping it was Raven, but then he said pants.
Yeah. Well, he's jean shorts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, is it time to wrap this shit up?
It is definitely time to wrap it up. We're at the hour and a half mark. I don't think anybody wants to hear our voices anymore. So, for Carrie and Kent, I am Russ. This has been Are You Not Kentertained? And we hope that you folks have been kentertained by our antics today. We will see you again next week when we get to talk more about our fantastic love of Raw and SmackDown. Nothing is going on this weekend, so thank God we got a little bit of a break here. All right, folks, we will see you later.
Good night, all.
Wait a second. Was the whole glandular thing a fat joke at the beginning, Russ? I mean, I see your mouth moving. I know you want to say something here, but you're still failing at it, even at the end of the show.
Ah, that was a fail. All right. Goodbye. Good night.